Oh, I
All
got
right. Oh.
Xavier Rodriguez.
Morning, everybody. Good morning.
Morning.
Sorry that it took so long, but it's been a morning. So
You need a coffee.
I already had one. I still have to go to Ohio today and then do some other stuff. So. And like all kinds of dumb shit that I will tell you about afterward. So
Oh,
well,
I wondered.
it's really only one really dumb thing, but it's I yeah.
I
I'll tell you
always
about
enjoy
when we're
your
done.
dumb things, John. It's
Yeah.
okay.
It's a dumb work thing, but you'll have that. Anyway, morning everybody. Sorry we're doing a morning one, but I have stuff to do tonight, and they came up, and we're making it work. And we're not going to be doing one for the next 2 weeks, so I figured we might as well get this one in.
True.
So, I mean, unless we randomly do like a record it and just post it version from New York, but we'll see. We'll see what we
I
do.
wouldn't be opposed to that. That might be something we could do.
Well, I can tell you right now, it's not going to be Thursday night because I have drink plans Thursday night.
Probably not, but
We can do it on the
unless we
train on
do
the
a
way
live
in.
version.
We can do a quickie on the train. It'll be hilarious. Or we just do like little, like we just make like a video of like our adventures for the weekend.
It just little snippets of like, hey, look at that guy puking in the
Right? This is what you get to see when you go to New York. So. Look at this guy pissing on everyone. No, just kidding.
it's never that bad. It's
No,
not.
no. I'll and then the week after that is Baltimore, and I'm gonna be down at Baltimore. So anyway, it's gonna be a good time. Oh, as you can see, I rearranged my nerd space, so now I don't have a light behind me, and you can see some more of my art that I collect. Behind me, including my super sweet Emma Frost, my Doctor Doom, my Echo, my Batman, my Thors, the Swamp Thing, my Thanos, my magic one. I have a oops, that side. The Pittsburgh playmat from Ryan Yee when he did that. I have some Sora stuff. I have a Doctor Who picture. Star Wars. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, it's kind of cold in my house. I was not expecting it. Luckily, I had a hoodie here. Anyway, so I'm gonna try to hear you all day, but even with headphones on, that concert last night was loud as hell. So last night, Scott and I went to the Judas Priest Alice Cooper with Corrosion of Conformity opening, and it was awesome. It was real awesome. And as I was telling Justin earlier, both Cooper and Halford still have it. They can still crush it. They are legends among men, or as Robert Halford likes to put it, they're not yet giants in the sky. Which was really nice because he did like a little touching when he played Giants in the Sky. He showed like a bunch of friends who had passed away, like musician friends. They talked about the power of music, which was awesome. He ended it with like an Aussie picture because that was like the addition to the normal one that he had, and it was really, really good. But yeah, it was loud as hell. I saw Jeff Zoot and his girlfriend Laura there. For I want to say this was their birthday gift because her birthday was the day before. And then also Brian. Can't remember his last name right now, but he usually does like Doctor Strange cosplay. He's a 501st guy too. He does like a good Indiana Jones as well. But they were there as well. They were on the other side of the pavilion from us. But it was a hell of a good time. And okay, so the fun part of the adventure was not only did we get really close parking for free, like just right where we normally parked, but we ended up being really close and we were kind of freaked out by it. But we go up to the concession stand to get something to eat before, we go watch Corrosion of Conformity. And We're standing in line, and I said to Scott, I said, does that really just say value beer? $4? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, what the fuck is a value beer? We get up there, and it's cans of Miller Lite or Miller High Life, because they apparently must have had like a shit ton of them.
Ah.
Weirdly, they were out of burgers, but they had a whole bunch of chicken, so we all got chicken. So,
There you go.
also, I didn't know that you can actually take a water bottle in now and refill it the whole time at filling
Huh.
stations. Yeah, I was like, so what happens if this bottle's filled with vodka? Oh well, whatever. So it happens. So, but yeah, other than that, thanks everybody who came out for local comic shop day. It was a success for us. All the stores did really well. Everybody said they had a blast. Thanks for Comicsburg coming out to the waterfront. They told me they had a great time, and a lot of people showed up for it too. Which I think I actually got a more detailed review of the event from them than I did the staff, which is kind of how my life rolls. also, thanks to everybody who met Summy in Canton. That was a great time too. Sold a lot of good books. Saw a lot of good books too, and it was a really good time. Fabian
Good.
DeCesa was there on the opposite end of the building. Opposite end of the building for me, but there were a lot of people looking for Deadpool, I'll tell you that.
I'm sure.
Yeah. An early X-Force, which luckily I had like maybe 10 copies of, and I sold almost all of them except for one. Mostly because somebody had put it in the wrong spot and I found it later. And don't forget Spider-Man magic cards are out if you're interested in that. I bought some. They're okay. And one last thing, a big thanks to Zach Thompson last week for coming in and filling in for Justin. He had a blast. I'm pretty sure he would have no problems coming back anytime. So whenever we need that extra person, he will totally come in. Or hey, you never know. We might see him once a month minimum anyway. But he had a blast. It was a good time. So
Good.
yeah. All right. Do we have any celebrity deaths to talk about?
Yesterday, the what's her name? Jane Goodwin,
Oh yeah.
the famous scientist from that communicated with gorillas, passed away. I
She
think she
lived
was
with him. Yeah.
she lived with him, yeah.
Yeah,
She
we were
died
talking about
at
how. Go
93
ahead,
or
finish
something.
up.
She was in her 90s, so
Yeah,
it
yeah.
you know it's been a long time because I think
Right.
she did that in like the 80s,
Yeah.
so you know
Yeah.
it's been a while. So but that's been about it. It's been very quiet on that end,
Good.
which yeah, it's a
Good.
good thing. It's I also think there's been other things that's kind of been like headlines around current events, so
Yeah.
unfortunately, that's kind of the thing that's kind of overtaken fun
Right.
stuff. Well, I shouldn't say fun stuff, but other things going on. So,
Right. Over the fun stuff, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, we were kind of joking about it yesterday about how people are gonna show up to Jane's funeral, and like the pallbearers are all gonna be like silverback gorillas. And they're just gonna like be like crying and pounding on the casket, and everybody's gonna be like, "What the hell did I walk into?" Like, yeah. Like how many apes and chimpanzees and stuff are gonna be at that funeral? It's gonna be like
Is
full
how
on
the
Planet
Planet
of
of
the
the
Apes,
Apes really
yeah,
started. It's
right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like full on Planet of the Apes. It's crazy. All right. Well, since we are done on the very brief.
yeah, there's not. Like you said,
Yes.
it's very quiet right now.
Yeah.
Like I say, it just,
Well,
I
I
think.
also will say so. I think a lot of that stuff's quiet because New York's next week, and a lot
Yeah.
of people are going to announce some stuff next week. Oh, there were a bunch of magic sets that got announced. I'm not excited about any of them except for Morrowind, which I already knew that was coming.
You're not interested in the Star Trek one.
I'm not. I don't think it fits the tonality. Like,
Oh, neither does Spider-Man, but people were like jacked
right.
for that.
Yeah,
So,
but it's not selling very well though.
no, it's not.
So yeah, so I don't see it being very good. Unless they make like the Jemadar in there and make them like super powerful, then I don't care. That's because it's gonna be a bunch of mostly like low level human-y stuff and then fucking ships. Like, is it gonna be
Unless they
funny
stick
to
in
have
Slimer.
like, well, no, because well they could do Gorn, but if they did like if they did ships, it is, while it would be funny to see like, my my Visadrix pilot the Enterprise, I'm not exactly excited about that said. I think it's a waste of time. But I also don't really like any of the license sets. I think they're kind of dumb. Like for Spider-Man, I bought a fat pack just because I collect fat packs. But that was it. So, all right. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what gets announced next week. All right, let's talk comics. All right, my first book is Batman Dose. So this is the second issue of the Matt Fraction run, which, at the last issue, it ended with Tim Drake calling and being like, "Hey, do we have any friends on the force still?" In this issue, Bruce is teaching Tim how to drive stick, so he brings him to like this old truck, because Damian is watching the Batmobile and he can't drive the Batmobile if you don't know how to drive stick, which I thought was interesting that he would be watching it like in the sun, like under a tent on the property. Because I'm just like, what happens if like a drone or like something satellite picks that up? But whatever. So
It's
then
Batman. Don't explain
right.
it.
So then it cuts to Tim Drake like chasing down some guy, like, so some guys are robbing a box truck, and one of the guys shoots the driver when he's not supposed to, and then Tim tries to get involved. So he kind of stops the robbers from happening, except for the when the cops are there, they're like, "No, you need to stay there too. Like, we're not messing around." And as he's like trying to jump away, one of the cops shoots him in the side. So he's then thrown in this truck with a bunch of villains, where he's handcuffed and they're not. Which he then ends up beating the shit out of them all in the back of the thing because they all want to fight him, and eventually breaks out of his chain or his cuffs. And Batman rescues him by putting like a spike strip down, and Robin's like, "Hey, he's the one who shot me. He also killed a guy." And Batman's like, "What the hell?" And the other cop's partner is trying to calm him down and be like, "Put the shotgun down, dude." And he's like, "Don't you understand? These guys are vigilantes, blah blah blah." So when the guy shoots his shotgun, it apparently hits Batman very hard and kind of partially in the cowl, or he hits him directly in the cowl, but it doesn't hurt or it doesn't pierce it or anything. But he's rattled pretty hard. It's like getting hit by a truck. Cuts back to it keeps cutting back to like Tim learning how to drive stick, and the reason why is because now that Bruce can't walk, he's gonna puke. He's like he gets in the Batmobile, and Tim's like, "All right, let's do this." And he looks down and he's like, "How many freaking gears are in this thing?" There are 13 gears in the Batmobile. He's like, "Why?" And then he says, "Why the hell do you need 13 gears for?" He goes, "Don't yell." And then he's like, "It's got the standard nine, but then he's got three quantum gears for use during speedo temporal crisis events. Then there's the secret gear, 13." It's like, "Secret gear? What does that even mean?" He's like, "I have the coolest car in the world, and I'll drive it." Which I thought was funny. Then Commissioner Savage comes in, and he basically puts out war on Batman and Robin, and that's where it ends.
Okay.
I'm liking this book. I'm enjoying it. I think that Fraction's humor and writing style fits this dynamic really well for the two guys, and I think that it's got a lot of potential, and it really is off to a great start. So I'm gonna give this book an 11 out of 12, only because I thought the extra gear, the 13 gears, was a little excessive. So, but that's it.
All right, we got JSA number 12. And I think this is the conclusion of the series by the look of it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, this JSA volume is done, or at least the arc is. But we left off the last issue, the what is it? This the Injustice Society released all these ancient gods, and you're seeing a big spread of them, and then you see the impact of around the world. It shows a little picture of Metropolis, like cloud, dark clouds over Metropolis. In Bludhaven, Nightwing it stops to feel the rain on his face but realizes it's raining blood. Swamp Thing loses control, and even the Flash is reliving his nightmares over and over again as he's running in super speed. So it's like chaos is all over the place, which is exactly what they wanted to happen. But here comes the Justice Society to shut it down here. Everybody is reunited. Everybody has their powers pretty much. And they start fighting back before these gods take over or wake up because they're still kind of in a stasis. But as they are kind of at a stalemate, here comes the reserves, and it's Mr. Terrific, it's Adam, it's what well it's Doctor, well, there's Fate, like at least partial costume, minus helm. I mean, it's a nice big splash page of heroes coming in, and they're starting to wake up. Well, they get to the helm of Fate, and they throw it to him, puts it on, and he is back. As Kid Eternity is also doing their thing, getting a hold of all the OG Justice Society members, getting their advice, and they passes on the knowledge to current Fate, who ends up there knowing the secret knowledge about how to destroy these gods. And it's a spectacular thing for Dr. Fate here, just obliterating these old gods. Love it. You don't get to see enough Dr. Fate, in my opinion. So this was an awesome scene. Then it kind of ends at that. It's everybody is like kind of returning back to normal here. Everybody kind of going their separate ways. Some are staying, some are leaving. There's some training. And then we get a nice little thing at the end here of Kid Eternity is being lured back to the past and finds a chained up Spectre who is trapped. And he kind of takes over her. So now we got a Kid Eternity with the Spectre powers now. And I guess this is going to be JSA Year One, an exclamation. So it's going to be the new series coming out. And then you get a snippet of a DCKO in here about the Justice League taking on this huge kaiju-looking dark side. So that's kind of a cool little preview too. So this was fun. I enjoyed this JSA, especially the heavy fate parts, because again, my thing with Dr. Fate is I don't care who has the helm. Dr. Fate is Dr. Fate.
Right, it's a
So
title, not a person.
yeah, it's a mantle for those who are like, it's not the same fate. I don't care. Still
Like
badass.
Batman. Yeah.
Still saves the day. You know. It shows how OP he is, and DC wouldn't nearly be as in trouble as much if they just let Dr. Fate just kind of do things.
Fair.
But
So what did you rate this?
I will give this 11 out of 12.
Okay, so now what do you rate the whole 12 issues?
I will give that like a 10 out of 12, just because I think it took a little too long for the story,
Right.
especially nowadays with like limited series size now. Like 12 issues you could do a lot with, but I feel like they spent way too much on prolonging all of this because in totality, I think this has only happened within like a week, but they made this seem way longer, like a longer thing going on with it. So it's not bad. You still have to kind of get used to certain individuals that are taking the mantles of their predecessors. So if you're not into changing titles or changing mantles, going to different characters, this may not be the series for you. But if you enjoy good old JSA teamwork, you know, rescuing the world, I would recommend it.
Fair enough. All right. My next book is a one shot from Image, and it is G.I. Joe Cold Slither. Do you guys remember this?
I
Do you remember this
saw
episode? Where is Marvin in the chat? He should be the one blowing up,
that.
being like, holy shit, this is awesome. Because he's a big ass G.I. Joe
Classic
guy.
'80s glam there.
So do you remember there was an episode where they created a song? Cobra created had a had a an AI computer make a song that had a subliminal message in it about like Cobra being awesome and stuff.
Yes,
And the
yes.
band was the Dreadnoks being as Cold Slither, right?
Yes.
So this is basically that, but expanded. So
Okay.
the first it first it recaps the original one, where like the Joes ended up like being in like undercover and getting rid of them and then becoming they did like they sang the G.I. Joe, basically the theme song.
Yeah.
But in this, like, Cobra eventually did take over the world. Oh, and we also get Destro's full name in this. You ready for this?
Okay.
Laird James McCullen Destro the 24th.
The 24th?
Yep. Laird. His name's Laird. You also get Baroness's full name too. Anastasia de Cobret. Anyway, so this is basically like a where are they now for the band, right? So you fast
Okay.
forward to now, and Ripper is like married to a groupie, and like they come in and like they're interviewing him and her, and he was like, yeah, like she said it was the tight pants or something that hooked her or something, and she's just like, I don't know if I want you guys to go back on tour and blah blah blah. So then you go to Tor they find Torch, who's the keyboardist, and he's got a band called Torch and the Burners, and he's like playing a wedding and he like totally wrecks the place. It's hilarious. Then Buzzer is now like back to being a professor of sociology. So he's teaching while he's in the off stuff, and then Zartan has his own dojo, but he doesn't wear the Zartan face. He wears like a regular. He actually kind of looks like Ken from Street Fighter, but with a mullet. So like they, so they're catching up on everybody, and then they eventually get them to do like a reunion show, and they show up, they do it. And they do the whole song, and they're back in their like 80s gear. Burner's shooting flames off the or yeah. He's shooting flames off the keytar that he's playing, which is hilarious. And then you find out that the people that were doing the reunion show thing were actually CoverGirl and some Joes. So that it flipped. Like, so now Cobra is not super in charge because the new song they put out actually has some subliminal messages about how Cobra sucks and G.I. Joe rules. So and at the very end, like the Cold Slither guys are just like, well, we finally got back together. We recorded some utterly face-melting tunes. We brought down an international authoritarian regime. We dragged the world to utter and total bling and chaos. Cheers. They just have a beer together. So this book, while I'm not like a super big Joe guy, I just thought this book was really fun. I thought the premise of doing it like a Where Are They Now was awesome. And the fact that it called back.
Behind-the-scenes version,
What?
VH1 behind the scenes, for
Right,
those who
right.
don't remember that.
Yeah, but I thought it was a lot of fun because of the way that they wrote it. The way it all played out was very, very good. I really enjoyed the shit out of this book. So I'm giving it a 10 out of 12, but the only reason I'm giving it a 10 out of 12 is I thought that the art could have been a little bit better in certain places. Most of it though was very, very spot on. But some of it, there were a couple parts where I was just like, as a musician, that's a little bit off. And that was the only reason I really was a little bit awkward on it. But the book was, it was a lot of fun, man. Like, it was a lot of fun. So.
Right, we got Tales of the Shadow, number two, I believe. Yeah. So, we left off with this detective chasing down this murderer, and she calls onto Shadow Man to save her because she confronted the serial killer, who happens to be someone from the dark side. So it, you got to battle someone from the dark side with Shadow Man. But the book two here actually starts from the very beginning of how they got into this place to begin with. It starts with a murder, and the detective is trying to find this serial killer, left behind a scarf. Her partner is a werewolf, which I'm trying to be like, okay, is this even Earth anymore? Because I don't remember that kind of being enormous, normal. But apparently, this is in the future too, so I guess this is how it is now. But her and her partner actually end up going into what they call the white zone, the dead side white zone, which is basically like a bazaar. And they meet up with this priest. And oh, they're from the New Orleans PD Abettor Division. I'm assuming that has something to do like with the supernatural, hence, werewolf. But they're asking this, I guess you could say this informant merchant kind of looks like a ninja straight out of Mortal Kombat. They're sitting there and they're asking about the scarf. And the informant kind of tells them, like, have you heard of the Shadow Man? And it gives, he ends up giving her, the necklace that we see her from before, from the first issue, that he said this is what you call, to call him. He's like, just remember, you have to pay his boon. And she was asking, like, well, what's a boon? And he's like, well, it could be anything. It's whatever he asks of you, you have to give in return for his services. And of course, the werewolf is like, Shadow Man doesn't exist. I was like, so wait a minute, the Wolf Man, you're in the dead side and you don't believe the Shadow Man. Okay. I thought that was kind of like a what the F moment there.
Right.
And then now we fast forward to where, like, we're at the detective is coming home, and this is where she meets the shape-shifting serial killer from the dead side. I don't think he even gives his name yet. But this is where he confronts her, almost kills her using his magic, and that's when she brings out the boon. He says something about the glorious apocalypse, so this is all running to that kind of deal. He, of course, the rest is kind of like a rewind here of him saving her. And him giving his boon. They go see a. They go see Mirage, actually. But. And I guess this Mirage doesn't know that Shadow Man is real until he presents himself. So this seems like it's a little bit like a reboot, a little bit of a reboot, it seems like. But he's trying to, they're the three of them together try to figure out what's going on. It turns out that Shadow Man is cursed, and the detective is also cursed. Something about their memory shattered, which may kind of come into play later. And as they're trying to figure stuff out, there was a counter curse, which ends up affecting Mirage. Shadow Man takes care of it, but Mirage isn't breathing right now. So that's where the book ends. I'm really interested in this. This seems like a really, really interesting take on what's going on with Shadow Man in general adventures. Of course, getting Dr. Mirage in there is always fun. Valiant never ceases to amaze me on this. I will give this a solid 11 out of 12.
Nice.
I'm still not a super fan of the interior art. I get like it's a watercolor style, but it's I don't like it for comic books. It throws me off. It just because it, if you're gonna paint cool, cool for cover, I'm down with the cover. I love the cover actually. I got it so much that I have the I got the version cover, version cover, and I love it. But the interior, to do the entire interior like that, it bothers me. Especially like for the background, I don't like it looks like you can see the paint strokes and everything. It's like, because then it affects like the main characters and everything, like how the characters look. And it bothers me a little bit. That's why I took a little bit off. Because normally I won't give, I'm pretty lenient with art dealing with the supernatural because you can kind of excuse it, but it's just my personal preference.
No, I get it. I think it's a valid argument. I'm not a super huge fan of the art either, but I think it does work for the
For
character.
the subject, yeah.
Yeah. It's very like Sandman-y vibe in
Yeah,
parts because of
yeah.
that. Yeah.
But even the interiors of Sandman didn't look like that, so.
Right. Well, sometimes they did, but not as much.
Sometimes, but not as much, yeah.
Depending on the artist. All right, my last book is Masters of the Universe Andra. So if you have not watched the last Masters of the Universe show, last cartoon, you have no idea who this character is because she appears in there. She is the new man at arms. And she starts out where her and Teela are sparring because Teela is now the sorceress in this version of the universe. So as the new man at arms, she's trying to teach the young recruits how to deal with magic users, right? So that's why they're sparring, and then Orko shows up and is like, hey, it's time to go. You gotta teach these guys how to do stuff. And she's having some confidence issues the whole time. So she goes and tries to teach these guys, but she's not taking her time. And a lot of the recruits put their guns together wrong, and then they end up blowing up in her face. Literally blowing up in her face. Or I guess actually blowing up in her face, like physically. And then actual man at arms goes and is kidnapped and used by this sorcerer that's from Andra's home country. So she ends up having to go, or she gets a message from Man at Arms, or from Duncan, I should say, to come and do something. Technical expertise, meet me on Orcus Island. So she goes there to find out that she is what's called the key. Her grandfather and like her friend, his friend, stopped the sorceress guy or sorcerer guy, Count Marzo, from basically taking over the world by hiding his amulet and breaking off a piece of it. So she tries to take him on head on, doesn't really work. And while he goes back to kind of charge up, not realizing there's a piece of the amulet missing, she kind of regroups with her grandfather and this other sorceress that's there, who actually has the rest of the amulet. She finds out what happens to her parents. And then she kind of builds this new armor and gets and pulls like a mirror trick for Marzo when he shows up. They have another throwdown. Surprise, she wins. And after she wins, He-Man and Teela show up a little late to hide the amulet in Castle Grayskull. And at the end, her confidence is boosted pretty well, and her and Teela go and show the troops how to fight magic. I thought it was pretty good. The only thing I thought that was interesting was the jet, like the amulet itself ends up like giving off some kind of weird radiated power thing at the end, and I'm just like, I don't know what's going on there, but okay. So I'm giving this book a 9 out of 12, because one, it's really long. Like, I was not expecting it to be so long, and it dragged at parts. But then it picked back up and everything was cool. So it, the story was pretty okay. And the art though was not what I was really hoping for. There are parts where it feels very, I don't want to say like Photoshop digitally, like where it's like you can, like, it's almost like they had the character, they like added a background or like move, like cut it out and moved it, right? Like it just felt weird in certain parts. I don't think it was consistent. And that was the other part that bothered me. Like, I don't think the art was consistent more than anything. So that's why it's getting a 9 out of 12. But it was a fun read if you're a Masters fan. It was cool to catch this story.
Yep, and we got Ultimate Wolverine number 10. Wolverine is, we open up with Wolverine and Sabretooth having a conversation, basically saying that he is leaving, Sabretooth is leaving. Just because he's taking the two young mutants, he's kind of adopting them. Like, this is like the weirdest version of Sabretooth I've ever seen. And I kind of don't dislike it. He's being very fatherly. Like, he's adopting the kids and he wants to leave. He doesn't want to see these kids killed. He's going to protect them. He knows that, the opposition does need help. But the problem is, it's if he stays, odds are that the kids are going to get killed as well. And he doesn't want to see that. Wolverine doesn't blame him. But before he leaves, we get this universe's version of the Masamura blade. So we get that, which is great. Love the Masamura blade. You can't have a Wolverine book without the Masamura blade. But we find out, we get to skip over. Colossus is losing his, you know what? That finds out that his brother is one of the leaders of the opposition. That was pretty evident. He ends up killing one of his generals, actually. He's losing his mind. And they're trying to find out where this where the resistance is. They do end up tracking like some of the sentinel that they used the signature of the Sentinel. And this is where Omega Red decides to take it upon himself and attack the opposition. Just as Wolverine watches Sabretooth and the kids leave, you're seeing these missiles come up where Wolverine is. And you see the Sentinels and the army attack start attacking against the opposition. Wolverine's fighting back, of course, taking the blade. The rest of the opposition starts fighting. You see like everybody getting ready. And they basically take care of business. Like you don't see everything, but you see a little bit later here, Colossus is sitting in his office, and one of his generals said, "Here is a package from Chernobyl, which is where the opposition was there," and brings the package to Colossus, and you see the head of Omega Red in the box say,
What's in the
"Don't send,"
box?
pretty much, and he says, "Do not send a Rustavich to do a Rasputin's job," is the quote in there, and then you just, that's the way the book ends. Loving this. I don't think I'll ever get tired of reading the Ultimate Wolverine if they keep this going. If it's, I realize it's probably limited. It's probably not going to be too much longer before they kill this universal or this Ultimate Universe line. But I'm thoroughly enjoying the storyline. I love the war tactics. I love seeing the different usage of the different characters that we know in the 616, where they are. What happened to them? I'm enjoying it.
That's awesome. All right. I just remembered from last night at the show. So if you guys don't know, Scott and I are both really big Wayne's World fans, like real, real big Wayne's World fans. Like we constantly quote Wayne's World to each other all the time. Like all the time. So when I said, "Hey, do you want to go see Alice Cooper?" He was like, "We're not worthy. We're not worthy," right? So at some point last week, he goes, "Should we cosplay as Wayne and Garth?" And I said, "I could do that. I mean, I could just have to go buy a black shirt, and you can be Garth." And he was like, "Well, I already have the Wayne stuff." And I'm like, "Yeah, but you're blonde." So we overall we didn't do it, but we're there, and we're heading to the restroom after we eat lunch or dinner. And we're heading into the bathroom, and two guys dressed like Wayne and Garth come out of the bathroom. And Scott's like, they understand the assignment. Look at that. And I just thought that was the most hilarious thing that
Oh
I've
yeah.
seen in a long time. Oh,
Oh yeah.
also, if you guys haven't been to the mills lately, we just got an astronomical amount of Gundam, One Piece, all kinds of new toys and model kits, and we also got a huge restock of blockies at that store. So make sure you come and check that out too. That's that should those the blockies should be going out today. So yeah, just make sure
Tons
you
of
check
Funkos.
everything out.
Always tons of
Oh yeah, we got
Funkos.
tons of new Funkos. But yeah, but those have already been split up. They're pretty much out already.
Not all of
So
them. I currently have this new shipment coming in, like finishing up this new shipment. So
okay.
that'll be my assignment for the day here.
There you go. Did that show up today?
Yesterday.
After you left?
No,
Hmm.
like while I was there, it showed up. I was helping you with the blockies.
Where was it? Because I don't remember seeing it in the back room.
Oh, I moved it all to my area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I was like, what the
I
fuck?
prepped.
I was like, what are you
I
talking about? It's all
prepped.
good. I was like, what? So anyway, but yeah, go check that out. It's gonna be a lot of cool new shit hanging out. So other than that, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Well, 3 weeks,
Yeah.
I guess. 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Um,
Unless we
and
do
uh
an opt a opt like an impromptu New York Comic Con update, maybe
Right. Well,
if we have
oh, that,
time.
I guess that's the other thing. Like, if you guys see us in New York, just fucking snap us and say hi. Like,
Yeah.
I would love to meet people that watch the show. I do that all the time. I actually met someone that watched the show in the Mills the other day. He was super nice. He also has his own podcast, which is awesome. Because like the more we talk about the stuff and the more people come and check things out, the better.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I was
So.
telling you, I was on vacation last week in South Carolina. I met a person that went to our con, and because I was wearing a New Dimensions t-shirt, and they're like, "Oh, did you go to that?" I was like, "I helped
Yep, I
operate
was on the
that."
floor. Let me take my head off and show you my mohawk. Yeah.
And one of our vendors was actually on our way back through Virginia. They just happened to run into him, one of our artist vendors that was at our show.
Nice.
So, and they recognized me quite easily. I don't have the full mohawk, but I still have the blue hair, so
Right.
it fit. So.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's, we're slowly getting the word out.
Good. Good, good. I'm glad. Also, if you guys see us at or see me at Retro Gaming this weekend or down in Baltimore, so again, stop, say hi. Like, I love meeting people, especially people that actually get enjoyment out of the stuff we do, which is not a lot. I shouldn't say that. It's just nice to hear it. It's just nice
Yeah.
because every time I'm like, I don't know why we keep doing this. Like, and then somebody will be like, "Hey, like, can I go on your podcast?" Or, "Hey, you guys like are really fun and blah blah blah." And I'm like, "Oh, sweet, I'm gonna keep doing this then." So
Yeah.
it does help. It does help, and I really appreciate it.
We try to be as interesting as possible with you guys. I know this year's been hard for I think everybody. But we're still trucking, we're still putting out content, we're still prepping for the show for next year. We're still doing shows in around the area in PA, Ohio, West Virginia. And if you don't see us around that, we're going to other shows helping out vendors, or we're going to shows ourselves for fun. Because we need to have fun too, guys, or
I mean,
we get worn out, we get spent, we get cranky. And nobody
technically New
wants that.
York is my vacation, but I am sort of working while I'm there. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's fine. We mingle. We see if we can grab a couple guys to come to our show. It does not hurt. Same thing when we go to Baltimore.
Right.
Howard Chaykin tries to pull people for us because he still remembers how good we were.
I mean,
It's.
I've gotten emails and calls, and I've had people come up to me at other shows and just say, "How do I get in your show?" And I say, "You talk to me." And they go, "Oh, okay."
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
breezy.
Yeah. I don't have control like that. I just put them to you. It's like, here, get a hold
That's
of
all you need
John.
to do. That's all you need to
John's the
do,
best
right?
there.
So, all right.
Exactly. It's like,
Well,
you need me to bounce somebody out of the door. I will be your man. I was like, but all the fun paperwork and stuff, I leave that to you and Scott. You guys can handle
thanks. Thanks. Yep.
You
Anyway.
get the paycheck that I do, man. So.
So, all right. Well, that's pretty much all we got for this week, guys. We will catch you next time. Make sure you support your local comic shop. If it's us, even cooler. We appreciate it. Helps keep the lights on. Helps me be able to buy cool art like this. All this stuff. Yeah. So thanks a lot, guys, and we will catch you in a couple weeks.